I want, it should be. It will be. If it isn't, I'll give you mine. Praise God. It's like a lot of Christians. It looks good. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah. Is that ours or yours? Oh, forgot to put. Well, that's.
Anybody got any
batteries? Yes, sir. Well, that's good. It's not as good as yours, I bet. Hey, are you ready to have church this morning? Come on.
You've lost nothing. 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 And you're stronger than ever in what counts, which is in the Spirit. You've lost nothing, brother. And the greater days are coming. Greater days are coming. Because God doesn't know time. Oh, He created it. But He's not limited by it. And when we walk in His footsteps, we're not limited by time either. We're not limited by time. And you know, what a weird world we have come to.
Yeah.
When churches have decided that a move of the Holy Ghost is not the main event. And they've decided that in order to get more people, we have to confine and not get in their time space. God doesn't think that.
No, He doesn't.
And when you see people come to Jesus, I was thinking of the verse, "He that winneth souls is wise." That means that he that doesn't is stupid. Right? So, how can it be that in 2016 we live in a time when God has been on the bottom agenda of a great percentage of those that call themselves Christians? When Jesus spilled His blood so they could have eternal life. When Jesus died and rose again so that they could walk in healing. You can't pick to go to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with doctors. But why forget about the great physician? Because if He died, and He did, and if He rose again, and He did, and it said that He has the keys to death and to hell and the grave, we should pay some considerable attention to spending a little time in His presence, knowing that in His presence is fullness of life, fullness of joy, honor and strength are in His presence. And so it doesn't matter what you've gone through. If you've not quit, you're on the winning side. It doesn't matter what it looks like if you have not backed away from your faith in God. Look, everybody alive has experienced a faith failure. It's not God's fault. It's improper use of the system. But where the devil does great damage, especially among believers or those that would come close to Jesus, is they get them offended at God because they don't understand the word. They'll blame God for some tragedy. They'll blame God for some failure. And they say that's the way God planned it. No, God planned for your success. That's why He sent Jesus. He plans for your final outcome to be exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think or dream of. If that's true, and it is, why would God send the best of heaven to earth to die a criminal's death if there wasn't a big reason in God's agenda? He would never have done it, my friend. But He sent Jesus. And when I was talking to Charlie, I don't know that I've ever seen on a continual basis what I saw this morning. I saw people come to Jesus as the main event. I saw it's not improper or uncomely to invite someone to take a stand for Jesus. Sure, you can fill out your name and address on a card, and I'm sure that's all right. But Jesus said, whoever is ashamed before men of me, I'll be ashamed of him before my Father. But whoever is not ashamed, I'm not ashamed to say, hey, Lord, look at what just happened over here. And you know, there's something to be said about being unafraid and unashamed to call yourself a believer. There is something wonderful that heaven, you know, the Bible says heaven applauds or celebrates when one comes to Jesus. When one. What about when two? What about when five? What about when 10? What about when 10,000? So a church that wins the lost can never die. A church that wins the lost can never fail. A church that wins the lost is destined for greatness. A church that wins the lost will not fail in any arena of living. It's when business begins to drive ministry that the failure comes. It's when off-focus intent, when your intent is to impress someone, when your intent is to build a bigger building, when your intent is to do things that have nothing to do with the gospel, that's the essence of why any church will ever fail. But it cannot fail when there is merit given to the Holy Ghost, when there is honor given to the name that's above every name, when there is a high priority on bringing those that aren't the movers and shakers in the city. Bring in the homeless. Bring in the destitute. Bring in the ones that are in trouble. The church, by and large, in the upper strata of society, have turned off the very people that Jesus died to touch. They have stopped going out and bringing them in because it's bad for the profile, or it's bad for the, you know, the look. To hell with the look. It's time that we make it our priority to touch people who need the message that is the greatest message that has ever been told in the universe, that God has a plan for you, that God has a purpose for your life. That's why we do what we do. So don't be ashamed of it, and don't worry about what it's going to look like, because what did it look like when the God that created the stars, that flung the heavens across, that flung the earth, what did it look like when he sent the highest? You know, there's a friend of mine, his name is Hugh Ross. He's an astrophysicist. And when he starts talking about what God did, I want to shout. But you know what he told me? He told me that every religion of the world is monotheistic, which means they're built by one entity. Muhammad, I Ching, Hare Krishna, they're one. They're also dead. But he said, how do you explain love? How can you explain love? Because love, by definition, has to have a transmitter, and it has to have a receiver.
Yes.
Or it can't be love.
Right.
So Muhammad could never invent love. Hare Krishna could not invent love. Buddha could not invent love. Only one could ever invent love. It is this. It's the essence of the God factor. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one essence, but operating in love, operating in agape love, what we call agape love, right? So when you look at that, wow, We talk about, well, maybe God didn't create the heavens. Oh, yeah, he did. That's what this guy started out thinking. He's thinking, oh, no, God didn't. This. But then he began, he told me, he said, I read, a Gideon gave me a Bible, and I read it from the beginning to the end. And I would stop in Deuteronomy. I started in Genesis, and I said, everything I've learned scientifically is there. I looked in Job. Everything I've learned scientifically was there.
Right.
I looked all through it and I said, there's no question. The God of the Bible is the God that created all the whole thing, because the very essence of creativity, the very essence of the universe says someone above the universe created this. Because if you have a beginning, you have to have a beginner. And when you look at that, you know, it's time that the church wakes up and begins to be vocal about the fact that, listen, the God that we serve doesn't live beyond Pluto. He lives right here. He's in my heart. I have a reason and a right to stand up and tell the world that God is the only one that really has it all figured out. And when you get him in your life, he'll begin to lead you step by step by step.
Hallelujah.
Now, I tell you something funny. We flew here last night in our airplane, and we lost the autopilot. Now, when you lose the autopilot, you have to fly. No one is flying for you. And my wife is sitting on the right, and she usually sits in the back. She's not really impressed with flying. But she was sitting there, and I'm hand-flying this little thing, and I'm watching the command bars, deciding what I'm going to do as we get close to Fort Worth. And she said, I can do that. I said, okay. So we're at flight level 400. That's about 7.5 miles above the surface of the earth. You better know God when you're up there by yourself. So she starts flying, and there's two little command bars in the airplane, in the flight director, right? And they've made it so simple, you have to be really stupid not to be able to do it. All you have to do is put the airplane snuggling up as close as you can to those command bars. And if you need to turn right, those command bars doing this, and you just follow the command bars. And if you're a little high, they say, get down a little bit. If you're low, they're raising up, and you just snuggle up close to the command bars. And I said, you know, that's a great sermon.
There it is.
We got the Holy Ghost, who is our instructor. And he is pointing in the direction of where God wants us to go. And if we're a little bit low, he just puts those command bars up, and we snuggle up close. And then we're not out of bounds. We don't go in the wrong direction. We're not going to go down until it's time to go down. We're going to ascend as low, as high as we need to ascend, because God's got our life all figured out, Bob. He's got it figured out from the beginning to the end. And the wonderful thing about it is we get to snuggle up close and follow where he leads. I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences where I didn't stay close like I should have. And it's not a very pleasant event. I tell you what I want to do. You just stand right beside me. I want to receive an offering for this man. Can I do that? I say, can I do that? Now, let me tell you what I want to say. The word says that he that gives up anything for the sake of the gospel receives 100-fold in this lifetime. Now, I got a picture this morning. You realize how few pastors have made it 52 years in one place? You realize? Very, very small percentage. They'll either get run off, or they'll get tired of it and quit, or they'll get their eyes on other things and fail. You haven't done that. And you know, the word says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is tremendous return. Now listen to me. Don't do anything yet. In the mysterious divine effects of consistency. I played the horn. I'm 68. I've been playing it since I was 11. That's a little bit of time to play. But you can't do it that long unless the love of that grows and stays current. Your love for God and your passion for the lost have kept you in a safe place in your ministry. And now as you come into these years of your life, they're not going to be years of defeat or lack or trouble. They're going to be years of great abundance, and they're going to be years of great reward and victory, because this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. And the faith that you've used, Bob, in your life and ministry, since I first knew you, since I first knew Joy, you've stayed just the same. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's just stayed right there. I remember when the thing blew up that downtown, the tornado, whatever that was. It sure made a mess. It would have been easy to go, hey, God, I'll see you later. I'm going to go somewhere else. But you didn't. But not only that, God even told you about it before it was going to happen. And he prepared you. Because if we follow after God,
yes,
he is honor bound to talk to us about our future. Because here the word says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for your future, your success, to give you hope in your final outcome. So, man, the rewards that you have established in this world don't stop whenever you leave the planet. They're going to be compounding, Bob, in heaven. Because when you give your life for Jesus, Jesus sees to it that you are the biggest winner of all time. And that's what I believe today is about. And I want you to do this. I don't want you to do anything until you pray. Let me tell you this. When you give, if you give because it's necessary, you don't get a big return, right? It's when you hear the voice of the Lord in your heart and you do what he tells you, and then you mix it with faith. You don't give just to bless this man. You give because God speaks to you to bless this man. And when God speaks to you to bless him, then God is honor bound to return to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the way God does business. So let's pray. Father, in the mighty... Joy, would you come up here, please? Would you? I want you to stand together. Can't we do this? And I don't want you to put it... So I want you to come up here and put it in her hand. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I serve, I ask you, sir, to speak to every person in this congregation and let them see clearly what exactly they are to do. And Lord, let them be cheerful in it. Let them see the return that's going to come back to them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let it be a witness to Bob and Joy Nichols of the great return of faithfulness to our God, to our Lord. And we give you praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. Now, if you're making out a check, make it out to Calvary. They're going to designate this entire, every dollar is going to go to my brother and sister. Charlie, anything else you need to say? We good? Can we do it this way? Just come right on up. Brother, if you'd play. Big John, would you come up here? Praise God. It's legal to hug his neck and just tell him you love him. Praise God. Lord, we magnify your name. We lift our voice and sing a simple song of praise to you. Come on up here, big time. Lord, we magnify your name. We lift our voice to sing a simple song of praise. You know, I've heard you sing, "How big is God?" Brother, you know how big is God? How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain. You know that?
Part of it.
Okay. He likes to do it in G. Can you do that in G?
The men may strive to go beyond the reach of space. Distant glimmering stars. This world's a room so small within my master's house. The open sky but a portion of his yard. How big is God, how big and wide his vast domain. To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe. It's
God, how big and wild his vast domain.
To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small.
Big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. I love you, Big John. God bless you, brother. Oh, come on, y'all. Let's give the Lord the biggest ovation of the whole. Take our time. We're all right. Are you all right? Can anybody shout? Oh, that's not loud enough. Can anybody shout? Oh, yeah. I had Big John do that for me because I've been hearing him sing that in my heart because I heard him years ago. How big is God? I can't do it. How big and wide his vast domain. Oh, to try to tell these lips, they can't even come close to the program. Isn't that right? Think about it. He's big enough. You know, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand in the earth. And he knows every one of them by name. Woo! He's big enough to rule this mighty universe. Thanks, brother. You're helping me. Yet small enough to live within my heart.
To live within my heart.
big enough.
He's big enough
to rule this mighty universe. Yet small enough. To be free. I'm so glad there's no chains on me. It's legal to shout, it's legal to dance, it's legal to clap your hands, it's legal to be wild about Jesus. It's legal to have fun. If you ain't having fun, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, it's I've recorded about 400 and I've recorded a couple of songs for Jesus, 37 CDs at the present count. But there's a song that I did that I know you will know. It's All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Pick a key. That's all right. What key is that?
It's in G, but
All Hail the Power. But I'll start it, then you can follow. You can take it. Da, 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 da. Just keep on going, y'all. I'm just having fun. I'm just background noise for what's going on. Are y'all ready? wonderful. Do you know the devil can't play the brass? You know why? Because that's the sound of royalty. Come on over here, brother. Play a little bit. Everybody stretch your hands out toward them, would you? Lord, I just thank you for their life. Hey, Bob, Joy. Get them to turn around. Bob and Joy, I'm behind you now. I want to sing to you. I speak words of life to you. Words of victory. I speak. In Jesus' name, so lift up your heads unto the hills, unto the mountains, for your Redeemer lives. He lives within love you, Bob. Come on, let's give Jesus the biggest ovation. Come on, y'all, give Jesus the biggest ovation, can you? Can I play a little bit now? Is it all right? Man, you play great. You play great. You know what's wonderful when we're on the same team? Isn't it wonderful? Only been 33 years since we played together. God, you play better than ever, man. Oh, yeah! Okay, what can we do? Can we have fun? Can we have fun? Come on. Everybody stand up. Come on, stand up. I was going through, anybody ever go through a hard time? Now look, I enjoy iPhones. I enjoy all kinds of phones. And I enjoy technology. Ooh, yes, I do. I got all my songs. My band's here. They never talk back. And they play it exactly the way I want them to play it. Praise God. But I started singing this song when I didn't feel like it. God told me, why don't you sound like you're joyful? And I go, Lord, you've been so good to me. Oh, I see my collar is sort of messing up. Wrong side. Put it up. Be better. It's better if it messes up anyway. Lord, you've been so good to me. And I was singing it with an attitude like, Lord, you've been so good to me. You ever felt that way? God, where are you when I really need you? Nowhere. Well, it's stupid. He's there, but you just can't see him because he's too hip for the room. Right? But so I said, okay, what happened to your phone? You're getting black. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Sounded like a nursery rhyme, but I can't do songs like that, so I did like this. Okay, now just stand for a minute. It'll get better. It's a little straight in the beginning. I don't have time to grab the horn. Now I'm going to teach you a chorus. You ready? Lord, you've been so good to me. You already know it. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something. I saw my wife down here. You have to understand, I hate with a capital H-A-T-E exclamation mark programs. I don't like programs because they're always right when you think about them and wrong when you do them. But my wife of 42 years is sitting on the front. Well, she's standing on the front with one leg because she likes to skydive. Why anyone would jump out of a perfectly good airplane is beyond moi. But she had done 99 jumps. I mean, she worked up to 99. She said, I want to do the 100th one out of a hot air balloon. Now, you got to be really crazy to get in something without wings and try to fly. But she went up pretty high, I guess about 9,500 feet, and she jumped. And everything was wonderful on the ride down until she landed. And she landed a little funny. So, but see, I had done that a year before and broke my ankle. But since now I have the wisdom of God, I can go, why did you do that? Right? But can I introduce you to my wife? Before I do this song, because I'm not, come on, baby. I'm calling her Hopalong. Come on up here, baby. I tell you what, y'all sit down for a minute, then you can stand up. Because I don't want you to look really funny crumbling up those deals. You ready? I'll stand on this other side of you. 1977, Christmas Day, we walked into it. We were normal heathens. Walked into a place called Beaches Chapel in Jacksonville, Florida, thinking we would do God a favor and showing up. And little did we know, we had an encounter on God's mind. It changed us. That's 42 years ago. You got to say something. You got to say hi. You got to talk.
Hello. I was just getting into it. I mean, then you stopped. You know, it's like, oh, anyway. Yes, God has been very good to us. I'll tell you what. Not draw near to someone that no matter what you do, once you receive Him as Lord of your life, it doesn't matter what you do. Now, once you see the revelation of someone that loves you that much, you don't want to do anything but serve Him and love Him. But I don't, we have, in our 42 years together, have come to see Him like we've never known Him before, until the last few years of our lives. Hardest time ever of our lives. But He drew us near to Him in all of that. I just want to encourage you to get entangled more and more in your relationship with the Lord. Because He is always there, no matter what you do or you don't do. But it's to your advantage to reach out and grab hold of the things, the good things He's created you to do. It's within you. And He's good. He's faithful. I think of, even as Christians, we can walk around so blind. We can walk around so blind. And I mean, our own son was in a 7-year drug addiction. And we didn't even realize how God was doing the same thing I just told you. Doesn't matter what you do. I mean, He was keeping Jamie in a safe place.
Sure.
And we were really, in retrospect of what we know now, we were clueless. But God wasn't.
Sure. Sure.
God wasn't.
That's exactly right.
You just can't go wrong with Him. You just can't go wrong in God. And anyway, I didn't mean to get carried away.
No, I love it.
It was a great 100 jump, let me just tell you. He broke his on number one. I hurt mine on number 100.
She got me, didn't she? You good? Come on, give Jesus the big ovation with you. Hallelujah. Now we can sing, Lord. Woo! Say this, Lord, You've been so good to me. Oh, man, I say it like you mean it. I still can't hear you. Oh, yeah. I said, Lord, You've been so good to me. I want to tell You, Lord, You've been so good to me. Lord, You've been so good to me. Well, You set my feet up on a solid rock. Come on, sing it. Set my feet up on a solid rock. Well, You set my feet up on a solid rock. Lord, You've been so good to me. Makes me want to shout it out.
Shout it out.
From the highest hills. Can you shout?
Shout it out.
From the highest hills. I want to shout it out. From the highest hills. Lord, You've been so good to me. So good. Well, when I feel
just a little bit discouraged.
So discouraged.
When it looks like all my hope is lost.
When
I go to the rock of my salvation,
Jesus,
he's my shelter. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation.
Jesus,
he's my shelter in a storm. Ooh. Lord, you are my refuge. Ooh, you are my fortress. I'm gonna shout it out. Lord, you are my hero. You give me shelter in a storm. You give me shelter.
Said this morning, Bob, but it made me think about this verse. It's in Deuteronomy. Somebody go, where's that? We all know Deuteronomy. 28. Go over to 28. Now, y'all know the first part if you know anything about faith. If you don't, you should frame this one. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if thou shalt observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the world. If you aren't sitting on a high place, don't blame God. And it talks about all of these blessings. It's amazing to me that a lot of Christians don't believe we're supposed to be blessed. Really? You mean if your father is the Lord God of the universe and you think you're not supposed to be blessed? Just ask the prodigal son. But I want to turn you over to the verse that nobody reads. You ready? You know, look, you see this Bible? There's part of my Bible that's falling out because I've concentrated on a certain part. It's my prerogative to concentrate on whatever I want to in here. Well, it's looking a little old school, but old school is not bad. Come on. Everybody that has a Bible, I'm not talking about on your iPad or your iPhone. If you have a real Bible, hold it up. Okay. Now look at it. And say, Bible, you won't do anything for me. Just hiding in the cover. Put it down. This word is voice activated. Y'all didn't get it. It's voice activated. The word is voice activated. So is faith. But I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy 28, 47. Now, if you're in the King James thing, God, if you say, wherefore dost thou wantest me to goest? God will say, over therest. But he'll think you're a little weird. God doesn't speak King James unless you do. Now, if you're really, really legalistic, you don't like what I'm saying, but that's tough. 47 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger. This is not an exciting verse. In hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. Ooh. And he shall deal, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon my neck until he has destroyed thee. That doesn't sound like a very Sunday school good verse. But I like to amplify it because I like it loud. It's amazing to me in churches how they want to turn it down. But in bars, they always told me to turn it to 10. Right? So when you're in a bar, you can turn it up. But when you're in church, you turn it down. Doesn't that sound like the devil? That's really, really, really intelligent. Really intelligent. Old man, don't shout for God. You know, that's not cool. Really? I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. You ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you. Oh. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you. Now, God, you mean you would send enemies against me? That's what it says. Why? Because you ain't got any joy. That's why. You can never win a moron to Jesus if you look like you're having more trouble than they are. You cannot win anybody. Nobody will want to serve the God that makes you look the way you look. But when you got a kick in your step, when you got a little bit of joy on the inside that comes out of the inside out to the world, which is joyless, then you can turn that verse around, because then you could say, because you did serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you, therefore your enemies shall serve you. Therefore you shall be the head and not the tail. The world has seen too many dead-headed Christians. If you're a dead-headed Christian, you give God a bad name. Because it's time that the fearless for Jesus, that the radicals for Jesus, that the unashamed ones for Jesus will be counted. And in the world that we live, it's time for God's people to be heard. And I'm going to switch gears. Are you ready? When the Bible says to shout unto God with the voice of triumph, when it says to make a loud sound to be heard in praising him, when it says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth, when it says to dance before the Lord, when it says, God, like the law of lift, which overcomes, there are laws in the earth that we live in. If you're, well, I don't want to do it with my Bible, the Altoids. Thank you, Charlie. The law of gravity. Doesn't matter if it's a good Altoid or a bad Altoid. Doesn't matter if it's saved, not saved. Law of gravity, you break the law of gravity, you fall. God's laws are every bit as powerful as the law of gravity, right? Amen. There's a law that trumps, you know, papers, rock, scissors, that thing you used to play, right? There's a law that trumps gravity. It's called the law of lift. That word, that song that says, the wind beneath my wings. The wind beneath your wings is as helpless as the fuel you didn't put in your tank, the altitude you don't have, and the runway behind you. Do you understand? The wind under your wings doesn't lift you up. Here's the law. There's something called the law of thrust. When you initiate the law of thrust, gravity follows. Lift occurs. And gravity has to bow its knee to the law of lift. Gravity does not hold you down when you initiate the law of lift. You are in a higher law and dimension than gravity. It can't touch you. It can't stop you. It can't bring you down. When God commanded us to praise, praise is the law of lift in your life to raise you above the gravitational pull of darkness trying to bring you down, trying to keep you under the gun, trying to keep you in trouble, trying to keep you thinking that you can't win. Because that law is designed to make you look down. You're built to go where you look. You look down, you're going down. You're built to go where you look. You look up unto the hills from whence comes your help. Then you are built to go up and you begin to ascend via that law of lift. There is a big disconnect, brother and musicians. There's a big disconnect in the church, even with great players. People think that praise and worship is just the song they sing. It's not. It's a vector highway. It's a jet route. It is a path. When you sang that song, there was a, which one? Any of the songs you sang, and played today. Those songs are like a highway in the Spirit. If there is a highway between Fort Worth and Dallas, that's probably a terrible example, but whatever. A highway to some cool destination, wherever that is. And you get on it, and then you get off in the next exit, you never get to the destination. I'm going to say it again. Praise is a highway to victory. It has been designed by God to let you ride in it, ride to the victory that His Word has promised will be yours in this lifetime. Not when you get to heaven, in this lifetime. Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Is that right? So when God said, when you go to a ball game, you shout when there's a great play or a great score. It's, you would never go to the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl or whatever bowl and your team win and nobody says anything. Duh. No. Nobody is taught to shout when they win. They know to shout. Nobody is taught to make a loud sound when something good happens in something they're into. It's built in you. But that's the corresponding action of a natural phenomena. But in the world, that's what happens. But the Word says we call those things that be not as though they were. We call those things that be not as though they were. When you are believing God to do something in your life that's great in your eyes, you can't make a little sound. It's unfair exchange. It will not propel you on your highway to victory. That force of praise was not designed by man. It was designed by God. God established the shout. He created the shout. It says the dead praise not God, neither them that go down in silence. If you're silent, get ready. You're going down because silence is the accompanying sound of defeat. If the devil can steal the sound that God put in you, you cannot win. You cannot walk in the high places because you were created to sound in the same great matter that God is. Listen to me, my friend. If you understand that everything that God touches makes a sound.
Amen.
Every person that God touches makes a sound. Your sound changes when God touches you. You can't stay the same. You cannot stay the same, my brother and sister. You cannot. It's impossible. Okay, I shift gears. Oh, not quite. Joshua, right? If you really read it, you'll find several things that happened. He told the people, don't make a sound when you go back to your tents. There's a law. Here's the law. Opposite sounds cancel. Opposite sounds cancel. If you do a rock and roll show and you have a noise restriction, let's say it's 130 dB that you can put the sound out to this line. Any sound guy knows all I got to do is turn the sound back toward the stage, put it 180 degrees out of phase, and the sound cancels right there. So you cannot shout one instant and talk about how you're losing the next instant. You have just canceled the law of lift in your life. It is not 10 after 12 in heaven. The hippest one in the universe is God. No man living can go in and out of time like God can. Nobody can change time. You is what you is. And you are what time it are where you are.
Amen.
Right? But God, heaven doesn't work on that. Here's what happened when Joshua, when they marched around Jericho, one thing I must add, they blew the ram's horn around it all the way around. And you know what they were saying? You're surrounded. You're surrounded. God is coming. You're surrounded. Na, 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 na. You're surrounded. And the people on the wall were looking down and say, who are these crazy Hebrews? They think they can come over our walled city? God told Joshua, don't say a word. Don't let them talk at night, because the Hebrews were famous for moaning and complaining. I would use another word, but it's not appropriate. Right? Until on signal, Joshua didn't even know what he was doing, I guarantee you. God told him, Joshua, on my signal, tell them all to shout. Okay, Lord. Obedience brings the blessing. So Joshua on signal said, okay, everybody, let's do this. And they began to shout. And there are these weird scientific people that said, well, the moon was in the seventh house and Jupiter was aligned with Mars. Really? No. What happened was heaven, who isn't time locked and who can float ahead of time and float behind time, they floated ahead of time and saw the shout and they said, ah, we've won. And heaven's firepower was released. That's the only way. You know, they've even excavated now and found part of the wall. Everybody's amazed. How did it get to where it was? It's called God. How did the universe get to where it was? It's called God. How did God take a radical heathen and turn him around? It's called God. He can do the same for you. Now I'm going to stop. I want to play, but I got to tell you one other thing, all right? I believe there is a new wind that is blowing in the earth. It will transcend every known denomination that men have raised up. It is a wind of worship. It will not know race or creed or color or division. It will be felt in Catholics, Christians, Jews. It'll be felt all around the world. And it is something that God is doing. And I challenge you to not miss it. Don't be stuck in what you know. Be aware. Get your radar up of whatever God is calling you. And I guarantee you that there's probably not a person in this room that doesn't know there's something getting ready to happen. We don't know how to describe it. We don't know how to articulate it, but we know there's a wind. And I want to tell you what God told me. We have learned as people of faith that the way God does business is in the law of fair exchange. When you give to God, you have the right to believe Him to return back to you based on the simple principle of seed, time, and harvest. Do we agree? Okay. A man that sows lust will reap lust. A man that sows destruction, or a woman, will reap destruction. One that's even a man that doesn't know God, that sows good, good will come back to him. It's the law of charity, right? Listen to this. Jesus said, you worship not who you know. The hour is coming that you will worship not in this mountain. He said, my Father is seeking those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Why would God, the master of the universe, be looking for those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Have you ever read in the pages of your Bible where God ever did something for his benefit? I haven't. God doesn't do things for his benefit. He does things for our benefit. So why would God say, I'm looking for worshipers? Why would he do that? Huh? It's not a test question. You know what he told me? He said, he talks to me sometimes like my mom talked to me. Philip, worship is the currency of heaven. The currency of heaven. The currency of heaven. Currency implies an exchange vehicle, doesn't it? No currency, no food, right? Currency, you buy what you want and you pay. There's an exchange. It's the shalom principle. If you give me your watch and I don't give you something in return, you're not whole. You're not at shalom, right? So God is looking for worshipers. And then he says, worship is the currency of heaven. I go to places where people worship God, but it seems like I've not seen enough miracles. If Jesus walked in here in the natural, I guarantee you there would be miracles. If God, who flung the stars in space, walked in and we could somehow behold him without being burned up, there would be miracles. Is that not right? Do we agree? So, if he's looking for worshipers, and I want to be one, what's in it for me? Huh? What's in it? If worship is the currency of heaven, isn't it the currency of earth? If I worship God and I invoke that law of giving and receiving, if I give everything I've got in God's direction, when I play, I hold nothing back. If you give everything you have in honoring the Lord God of the universe.